Hello.
Welcome to another episode of the Eating Alone in My Car show with your host. So sad today. Today's episode's a crunchy one. Brace yourselves. It's gonna get a little hectic. So today's episode is I'm having some Cool Ranch Doritos and a Diet Dr. Pepper. They didn't have any Coke Zero at this gas station. And, you know, Diet Dr. P, I'll rock Diet Dr. P. It's an old favorite. It's an old classic. Reminds me of growing up. Reminds me of my dad. He was a big Dr. Pepper person. Also, like, black cherry soda. Black cherry Wishniak. I think, you know, growing up outside of Philly, we had some weird Quaker shit going on. And there was some black cherry soda called Black Cherry Wishniak that I believe was Quaker, but I'm not sure. So we appropriated that. We appropriated the black cherry and drank it in my home. It is a crunchy episode. These Doritos are, you know, they got the crunch. So, you know, I'm going to be eating, but I'm also, to save you all, I'll probably mostly be like suckling on the corners of the Doritos for a lot of the time, you know, just I'll be suckling on the teat of the Dorito, you know, as I make my scintillating conversation with you. I really don't even know what I'm going to talk about today, to be honest, but how about this? Let's bloom where we're planted. You know, let's start where we are. Let's address the question that I know you are all dying to know, which is, why Cool Ranch? Why not another flavor? Why not a spicy hot? Why not a salsa verde? You know, don't give me fucking salsa verde, okay? I want a classic flavor. You know, give me the classic flavors. For me, that's Cool Ranch and nacho cheese. Nacho cheese was always my preference growing up. You know, I was always more pro. Anything involving fake cheese is really the one for me. So nacho cheese was always my favorite growing up. But I then sort of, my relationship with the nacho cheese, and I liked Cool Ranch. I mean, I would eat a Cool Ranch. You know, you're at a slumber party, someone pops open a giant bag of Cool Ranch Doritos. What are you going to do? Like, not engage? No. You fucking engage. You know, the Cool Ranch beckons. So I liked Cool Ranch, but I was really just like, nacho cheese was my number one, you know? And Cool Ranch was more of a side bitch. So, but fast forward to when I started doing psychedelics, I would eat, well, when I started doing mushrooms, I decided that it was a good idea and that sort of texturally, that I would eat the mushrooms. I would make like a Dorito sandwich. So I'd take like a cheese, you know, a nacho cheese Dorito, and then I'd put like a shroom, like a dry, you know, a shroom in the middle, and then I'd put another Dorito on top, and I'd sort of stick it in my mouth that way and crunch it all up. And the other thing is that it wasn't just the plain, like, it wasn't just a regular nacho cheese Dorito that I was doing this with. At the time of the early onset of my psychedelics, there were these Doritos that were made with, there was a product that came out, it was fairly short-lived, there were Doritos and potato chips, Ruffles potato chips, made with some product called Olestra. And Olestra cut out a lot of the fat and calories from your food, but it made you shit like crazy, because I don't think your body digested it, so you were just like shitting it out, and that's why, you know, there were less digestible calories. You know, I've never been one to not self-harm in the way of, you know, in the name of beauty, I will, if it involves some shitting, that's fine with me. You know, that's fine with me. If I'm going to be consuming less calories, but shitting for an hour, you know, it's like, it's fine. It's fine. So, there's a tow truck honking at me, and I'm not really exactly sure what that's about, but nonetheless, so with these Doritos, with these Olestra Doritos, I decided to take the mushrooms on the Olestra Doritos. Not that mushrooms themselves don't make you shit, but I was sort of used to them at this point. You know, I had been like riding the Olestra train for a year, so it didn't really like, my body was sort of used to the situation. And I remember actually, like, I think I took mushrooms with these Doritos maybe like 3 times, you know, like I took them with other shit, but like I'd say my first 3 times I ate them with these Olestra Doritos, which it is a fucking, I mean, texturally actually, like the shrooms have sort of like a flaky, almost powdery feel. So texturally it wasn't, you know, it's not that powderiness is not that far off from like the powdery nacho cheese. But I just, you know, it's like, it is an odd thing to take your shrooms with. But so I remember like the first time I took shrooms and I ate them with these Doritos before I took the shrooms, I remember the night before I was listening to like The Doors, of course, right? I've told you about my obsession. And, you know, I remember it was like Weird Scenes Inside the Gold Mine. You know, and I was like, tomorrow I will be taking psychedelics for the first time and my life is about to change. Like, I remember having that thought. And then the next morning, I had an appointment to go get like big giant blonde bleached out streaks put in the front of my hair. So I went and did that. I got my Doritos and then I went to the park with my little boyfriend in Massachusetts. I was in college. And we went and I ate the shrooms with the Doritos. And it was a beautiful trip. I feel like half of my life has probably been spent trying to get back to that moment. I remember sitting in this park, which was, the park itself was really not beautiful, but the way I perceived it, I remember the grass was just, you know, the grass was like candy green and the sky was like icing blue. And I remember thinking, this is what the Grateful Dead were talking about. Like, now I get it. Now I get it. This is what the Grateful Dead were talking about. All right. And I also remember thinking, I'm going to grab another Dorito so I can sort of suckle at the teat as I tell this story. I remember feeling like, why can't people just be kind to each other? Why can't people just be kind of each other? And I scrawled that. There was like an amphitheater at the Ugly Park. And I scrawled that on a wall. Why can't people just be kind to each other? Which, you know, it's actually a good question. But probably not something that I was going to be able to answer that day. But it seems so obvious that we should. You know, it seems so obvious that we should be kind to one another. There was also, I had a moment post Olestra Doritos where I thought, I'm never going to hurt myself again. Why? You know, I really felt aware of my own innocence. I'm never going to hurt myself again. Well, you know, I obviously did. I remember coming down and, we got some, pizzas and things like that night. And, I decided to get a salad with fat-free dressing, you know, which is sort of one way of hurting yourself. There's another way of hurting oneself, which is to binge eat pizza. And, you know, that would come in time. You know, it was sort of, I was always sort of in between. You know, during that Olestra time, there would be days where I would just live on the Olestra Doritos, trying to sort of get my weight back together. And then there'd be times that I was binging. But that night I went with like the salad with grilled chicken
fat-free dressing. And it was like, not that that's necessarily so unkind, but it just really became, it was very clear that, you know, I was not going to, the mushrooms, having done the mushrooms, you know, I was not going to just be like over my bullshit, you know, like, and that's one of the things with psychedelics. It's like, it's hard to integrate those experiences, you know, you can have like the revelation of a lifetime, but when you're back in the world, it can be tough, you know? And so it's like, I don't know, doing the work, quote unquote, while a fucking pain in the ass. I'm definitely not as fun, fancy free, or at least beautiful as mushrooms can be. They can also be dark and terrifying. But, you know, I feel that it's a more sustainable thing. But I mean, look, if I wasn't an addict, I'd still be doing all of it. I mean, I wouldn't be like doing the work if I didn't have to do the work. You know, I'd be like, I'd be on drugs. You know, I'd be on drugs. But unfortunately, it, you know, doesn't. Unfortunately, I had to run that shit, and I ran that shit into the ground. You know, I did all the drugs, and there were, you know, there's never enough drugs for me. There's just never enough drugs for me. And thus, you know, I did continue to hurt myself again and fucked with the Alestra a while longer. You know, took further mushrooms on the Alestra. Got into this weird trucker speed. They call ephedrin. They don't. It's illegal now. I can't believe that shit was legal back then. I mean, it was like you could get it at the gas station. It was like literally being able to buy like Adderall at the gas station. It was kind of incredible. I mean, I'm glad I experienced it. You know, I don't regret the past, but I mean, because that's fucking dope, right? Just being able to buy, like, so yeah, so I did that for 3 years, and I really loved that because it was like, you know, it controlled my appetite, you know, so I was like, life seemed sort of gorgeous. Life seemed gorgeous, and also I wasn't hungry. And maybe it was because life seemed gorgeous, you know. I was like, food wasn't, I didn't need to use food to sort of boost my moods or, you know, my perception of life. I don't really know. You know, I don't know how drugs work. I didn't spend too much time on the science of drugs, you know. To me, I preferred always to think of them, as magic. But anyway, so having said all that, having all that narrative set up, my main point is that I'm fucking with the Cool Ranch because, you know, after having the nacho cheese Doritos as Olestra for so long and taking them with shrooms, they became a lot less special to me. You know, they became a lot less special to me. Whereas a Cool Ranch Dorito is still, you know, it's a one-of-a-kind art piece. You know, there's no knockoffs. There's never been any knockoffs. I didn't live with you know, the print of Van Gogh's sunflowers, in my home for 20 years. You know, there's either a Cool Ranch, you're either a Cool Ranch Dorito or you're not a Cool Ranch Dorito, you know, where it's pretty inimitable. You know, and so I was like, what the fuck? You know, I'm doing a show here. I'm doing a show. Let's make this a really special episode. So what else is going on? Well, thank you for asking. Sure. Don't mind if I do. No, really, it's very nice of you. So still haven't monetized this podcast. You know, I think about it. I like have a moment, you know, and then I'm just like, I don't know. I don't want to do that to the people. You know, and I think it's cool. I think it's cool to have, I mean, also, the, one of the reasons why I haven't monetized it is because, so I, like, do this on this something called Anchor. I don't know. I just, like, randomly, like, found this app called Anchor, and I, like, do the, I post it on Anchor, which, and so they, like, I don't know, you're supposed to, like, cut it into sections, and then they, like, start giving you, like, advertisements that they, like, stick in. I don't really know. I don't want anybody fucking with my shit. Also, like, my stuff, you know, my cuts, my takes are so, like, I don't want to say random, but, you know, I don't ever have a moment where I'm like, okay, and now from our commercial break or like, back to you, Melissa. Why, thank you. You know, I don't have that. So it's like, I don't know when I would fucking, like, they sort of, the breaks come when I'm like in the car and like I have, you know, like a big bite in my mouth and I have to swallow, or like, you know, I just am like, fuck, what else am I going to talk about? And I get like a moment of panic. And so I just stop the thing. Like, and so you're supposed to do it like in between segments. And I'm like, I don't have segments. Like, this thing is just like a series of blobs, you know? It's just a series of blobs. And like, how do you monetize a series of blobs? Like, it'll just be me talking, and then like in the middle there'll be like a commercial break, like and then resume. Like, I don't know. So, you know, so I guess it's accidental, or it's sort of not knowing how to like monetize that I haven't monetized. But you know, but I like to own it and pretend that it's like a completely deliberate choice, which I'd say it's like maybe 60% deliberate and 40% just not having my shit together and like knowing how to like do it. But like, you know, 60% deliberate, but I like to pretend it's, you know, it's like my anti-capitalist stance coming through, you know? And it's like, I mean, I'm like, you know, I don't have like a rose emoji next to my Twitter name, but like, you can call me Bernie Sanders or whoever the new trendy whatever. I like Bernie. I voted for Bernie. I'm pro burn. I felt the burn. I'm a Bernie bro. But you know, but I'm like not necessarily like vocal, and like I don't really like know a lot of stuff. Like, I don't know. I think it's nice to not know anything, you know? It's kind of nice to not know anything. But it's like, so I try to like own my, you know, I'm like, I'm owning it. I'm like, yeah, like it's free. I wouldn't monetize my shit. And I guess I could like do the thing, like I've heard on some podcasts where they like do the ad themselves, where they're like, you know, like, butt face snack box now in 4 flavors. And I'm like, but I don't know, like, do I really want to read a fucking ad myself? Like, should I be practicing for like when I figure out how to do that? Like, should I be like, the moon now fuller and taunting you more. I always feel like the moon is kind of like making fun of me, you know? I think it's because like I kind of feel like I don't like the moon enough. Like, I feel like as a poet, you're, like, supposed to, like, love the fucking moon. And I'm, like, I'm down with it, but I, like, just forget to look up a lot. You know, like, when I see it, I'm, like, oh, cool. And, like, when it's, like, hanging low, like, I'm into it. You know, there's, like, sometimes that big fucking moon, and I'll have the moment where I gasp. But it's, like, you know, but I don't remember to, like, look for it. Like, it's only when it, like, comes into my vision that I'm, like, oh, yeah, the moon. So I guess I feel like the moon resents me for like not being into it enough, and therefore is like trying to like be mean to me like before I ignore it or something. I don't know. I also feel like the moon, like, you know, when I was a kid, like when I was growing up, like I feel like the moon, I feel like the moon like has recently like gotten like some kind of like publicist over the past couple years, you know? Like when I was growing up, it was like the moon. There was like the full moon, the waxing moon, the waning moon, and like no moon, you know? But there weren't, now there's like the blood moon and the pink moon and the, like there's 80 different kinds of moons now. Like it's almost like when, you know, Doritos like does like a campaign with like a new kind of chip, you know? Like I feel like the moon got like Doritos creative director of taste, you know, and was like we need like a spicy chili moon, and like, you know, we need like a I don't know, whatever the fuck other kinds of, we need like a salsa verde moon, you know? Like the moon is definitely rebranding, I feel. So it, you know, the moon probably does not need my support, you know. It has enough interest. So I'm guessing the moon probably won't advertise on this show. I'm trying to think, like, if any nature, like, if any element in nature was gonna, like, advertise on the show, like, what would it be? You know, it's like gravity. It's going to happen to you. Better research it in advance. And when you look at your mother's sagging boobs, don't think it won't happen to you, because guess what? I've got a harsh reality. Gravity. Brought to you by gravity. Or like death. You forget to think about us, but we're always here. Death's like AAA. We're here when you need us. You know, or it's like Motel 6. We'll leave the light on for you. You know, like time to make the death. You know, it's weird, like with the death thing. I don't know, like maybe would a mountain advertise in this podcast? I feel like I have a good relationship with mountains. Like I feel like mountains don't judge me. They're not rebranding. They're just like there. They're doing their shit. You know, I mean, sometimes I feel like the mountain is like snickering at me a little. It's like, oh, look at you like running and trying to like accomplish. Like, what are you really doing? You know, like what are you? Also, the mountain's cool because it's like it's not trying to be anything it's not, you know? Like I feel like the mountain's like just be vulnerable, it's fine, you know? And I'm like, but I'm scared to be vulnerable. I'm scared of like rejection. And then like death is like the co-sponsor of the ad, and death's like, dude, you're vulnerable anyway, like you have no control over me, so like you might as well just be like the mountain. You know, it's hard to be like the mountain though in the face of death, because I think like ultimately my fear of showing vulnerability to others is fear of like a little death, which means it's like fear of a big death. You know, it's like if I can just not, or if I can just sculpt my vulnerability, right? Because I do show things, but it's like from a confessional, it's like a confessional vulnerability, right? It's like I will control what you see. I'm going to show you a lot of things about myself that maybe other people might be scared to show. You know, I'm going to be hashtag brave, but I don't want you to see it. I don't want you to see it and like form an opinion. Like I'm going to try to like sculpt. I'm going to try to control the way that you see my elements of vulnerability, you know, whereas the mountain's just like out there. But the mountain's really fucking strong, you know? I'm like, am I a mountain? Like, I don't know that I'm that strong. And I feel like I sort of sculpt my vulnerability and fear judgment, because to be powerless over, like, the judgment of others is like feels like a small annihilation, which then is sort of a reminder that I'm, like, powerless over the bigger annihilation, you know? And it's like, I don't want to think about that. Brought to you in part by death. Like I could definitely do some advertisements for death, I think. I don't know that they would be like super selling, but I think like, I don't know, like if any element of nature were like likely to advertise on this podcast, like it might be death. I'd like to say it's the ocean. You know, I might do like a marketing venture, like a co-branding with the ocean, like a sponsorship, like have the ocean sponsor some segments so I can be like the Pisces. Now available in paperback. It's going to be available. Pisces is coming out in paperback in February. I'm doing a little tour of Texas. I'm going to Houston. I'm going to Dallas, Houston, and Austin on the 6th, 7th, and 8th. You can go to my website, melissabroder.com, and go to the readings page if you want to come to any of those things in Dallas, Houston, or Austin. Remember, I don't know if you remember a couple episodes ago where I was saying that I was arranging a tour, and like one, I didn't hear from one bookstore. And so I made that bookstore into like sort of my higher power. And I was like, if they don't like get back to me, I'm nothing. I'm like a loser. That was the Austin bookstore. They took the longest to get back to me. No, don't like troll them. It was not their fault. It was like fine. It was my fault for being like, you know, frightened of being nothing. Maybe it was my mom's fault. It was like a hybrid. It was like, you know, my mom's fault, my fault. Maybe there's no fault. I feel like I should definitely be back in therapy, because my like voices that tell me I'm a loser are like so loud nowadays. Not that they're never not, but they've been like extra loud. But I'm like, I don't want to go. But But I will be in Texas, and that bookstore did get back to me, and then I was able to sort of feel like enough for a second and then have that fear of not being enough sort of migrate to just something else, as it always does. I was like, okay, now I know the bookstore doesn't think I'm a loser, so like, let's find... I'm just basically, all I do is I'm just flailing around the world looking for evidence to confirm my deepest fears. You know, that's what I'm doing. Maybe, I don't know, podcast, show, shodcast, sponsored in part by your deepest fears. As well as your fear that the deepest fears that you profess are, other people are going to think they're like superficial and like privileged fears and like, you know, just shut the fuck up. Brought to you by the fear of judgment of your own fears, and that you will be canceled because of your carefully controlled professed vulnerability. Shodcast brought to you by death, fears, gravity, and the fear of your own cancellation. But yeah, so the Pisces will be out in paperback in February. So no excuses now. No excuses. It's going to be a lot cheaper. I get it. If you haven't bought the Pisces in hardcover yet, I get it. I rarely buy books in hardcover. Sorry. I just, you know, it's like, who wants to schlep that motherfucking thing around? You know, who wants to schlep a hardcover around? I'm actually always like shocked and amazed when somebody buys... when somebody buys the book in hardcover, I'm like, you're a better person than me. But it will be available in paperback in February, so no excuses now. If you don't read, I don't really care. Buy that book and just like use it as like a fucking coaster. You know what I'm saying? Because it's probably going to be like $8 or some shit on Amazon. So, you know, there, I mean, some of you don't have $8, and then that's fine. But for those of you who do have $8 of disposable income, there's no excuses now, you know? Buy the paperback and, like, eat it. I don't know. I used to eat paper when I was in middle school to, like, make people laugh in my French class. It was fine, you know? It was bleached. I think a little bleach is good for you. I honestly think I, knock on wood... besides the fact that they always think I'm dying, I don't think I get sick that often. Fear of death podcast sponsored by Hypochondria. But I think that like, I don't actually get sick a ton because like, I'm like, I, you know, I don't really like wash my fruit. Like I was never like always the most dutiful hand washer. You know, I ate paper. It's like, I feel like I inoculated myself physically to the world. I think emotionally I'm like not that inoculated, you know, like I'm sort of quarantined, like I got a quarantine, but like physically I feel like I inoculated myself with like the paper eating and, you know, just the not washing of the fruit. But so in any event, yeah. So, February 6th, 7th, 8th, Dallas, Houston, Austin, I believe is the thing. You can go to my website. And then also I should probably see, so I do advertise on this. I do advertise on this Shodcast. I'm trying to play it off like I'm, you know, fucking Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, when in reality I'm doing, you know, I'm advertising like a motherfucker. But January 31st, if you live in Orange County, I'm teaching a class. It's an hour and a half. It's $15. And it's at, I forget what it's at. I want to say it's at Future Classics, but I think that's a record label. But if you, the information for that's on my Twitter. If you like scroll down the Twitter, you'll see, I talk about teaching this class. It's at Future, like Hereditary or something. I forget what it's called. The Something Center. I'm teaching a class in Orange County at the Something Center. $15, and the class is on, it's going to start with a guided meditation. It's on writing beyond consciousness, dismantling consciousness, writing beyond the linear. And so it starts with a guided meditation, and then we explore all kinds of ways to dismantle consciousness and write from other places, the heart, the gut, the pussy, writing from these other places and why we would want to write from these other places. You know, why we would want to dismantle the linear mind, get out of our own egoic bullshit. And so we do bibliomancy, which is like, you know, different. We do all kinds of like games, not games. I'm not playing games. I'm not a gamer, but all kinds of methods, methods over the years that have been, you know, avant-garde and, Dadaist and all kinds of methods that have been, practiced, but bibliomancy, the practice of going to like random pages and, pulling out different words and using them as prompts. But wait, let me see where I am teaching this motherfucking thing. I don't know. You know what? Just go to my Twitter. Just go to the So Sad Today Twitter. Scroll down and you're going to see a tweet about this class that I'm teaching on January 31st in Orange County. I don't know. Why am I doing it in Orange County? Because they asked me to. It's the 1888 Center. That is where it is. The 1888 Center. That's what it's called. But there's also something with the word future in it. I don't know. But anyway, the 1888 Center. But why am I doing it there? Because they asked me to. You know, if you want me to come to your university and do a thing, tell your department. I'll go. I'll totally go. I'm not anti-academia. I'll go. I like infiltrating academia. But yeah, so they asked me to do it. So I said, why, yes, 1888 Center. I'm gonna do that. And then they said, well, what would you like to teach? And I said, this is the class I'd like to teach. I'd like to dismantle consciousness. I'm conscious enough of the time. You know, Shodcast, brought to you by the subconscious mind. So having said all that, having said that I don't advertise on this podcast and then backloaded the back of this shit with all kinds of flagrant self-promotion, I'm going to bid you adieu for this week. But I'm wishing you only the best corporate sponsors on your journey. Wind, perhaps a little fire. Some bracing air, maybe the ocean, you know, a little dirt, not getting buried alive, but just being one with some shit, being one with some earth, a flower or two. You know, I hope your life this week is sponsored by a nice flower. And I will see you on the flip side. That is all. Bye-bye.